outside, is it? I was playing golf yesterday. I was about hole 14, or I was on the 14th, and it got so hot, I told the guy that's playing, I said, I got to go home, man. It's too hot. But today, it's just really nice out there. All right? You sound real enthused about it. How many of you like Krispy Kreme donuts?
Yeah.
Come on, Jonathan. I see you smiling. You sneak one every now and then, right? Now, you like the ones that's got like the icing on top and it's got that filling in the middle? You like them kind? What happens to you when you start eating on one and there ain't no filling in there? Kind of bumps you out, don't it? Come on now, don't it bum you out? Well, I got one of them yesterday. I know it don't look like I ate a whole lot of Krispy Kreme donuts, but I did eat one yesterday. And as I was eating it, I'm kept, where's the cream? You know, that's the only reason why I told Sherry to get these, because it had that cream in the middle, because I looked forward to the cream. But it was missing. The past 6 months, even though I have spoken on a number of occasions at different churches, I've learned to listen, folks. I have learned to listen. And one of the general concerns of people that I've been able to talk with and I've able to hear from is this. In our churches, something's missing. Something's just, it doesn't feel right. Something's not there anymore in our churches. But also they say there's something missing in our lives. There's something that I just don't get excited about coming to church anymore. I don't get excited about ministry anymore. A lady was talking to Sherry one Wednesday night. I did a Wednesday night Bible study for a church out in Caswell County. And one of the ladies come up to Sherry one night and she said she had invited a friend of hers to church that Sunday morning. And after the service was over, she said, well, how did you enjoy the service? And this is what the lady said. I just didn't feel the presence of the Spirit there. I just didn't feel the presence of the Spirit. Now, for me, and a lot of you know me the way I am, my first reaction would have been this. Well, maybe the problem is you, right? Why? Because we don't want nobody to know there might be something wrong with our church, do we? Well, we don't want anybody to know that there might be something lacking in our churches. They asked me, something happened to one of the speakers on one Sunday morning, and they asked me if I would come up and speak, and I said, yeah. And a lady came up to me after the service, and she told me this. She said, Steve, I haven't felt the Spirit here in so long until this morning. Now, this was the same church. It had nothing to do with me. Okay, let's understand. Had nothing to do with me. But what that told me there was this. Our churches are missing something nowadays. Our churches, we're missing that power. We're missing that presence that should dictate everything we do in church. I heard a thing this past week on one of the radio stations. And it said this. That a number of Christians today, listen to me, a number of Christians today believe that through other religions, there are other ways to heaven. That's what they said, folks. And you know, the sad part about it is this. We're not preaching, Stephen, with the power of the Holy Spirit in our churches anymore. I don't know why. Because, folks, you can have fun. You can't get a better music team than just sing for you, and they sing in the Spirit of God. It touched lives, don't it? Now, I remember when I was growing up as a wee little lad. I know it's hard to believe I was that little, but I was a little bitty fella at Glen Hope Baptist Church. Now, I sat under the preaching of somebody who I considered to be my hero. Now, folks, look, my hero was a preacher, Reverend George W. Sweeney. Flat out have at it in church. I mean, he would. And myself and a couple of my buddies, we would be sitting up in the balcony, and we would be having a hoot up and laughing. Why? Because all of a sudden, he'd be preaching, and somebody'd get up and start hollering and start running. And we thought that was the funniest thing on earth. And people were amening and hallelujah, and we just had a gas up there because we didn't understand what was going on. But as we began to mature in Christ, I began to understand that what these people were they were letting out what the Spirit of God was wanting them to get out. And folks, we are scared to death today to say amen in church. We're scared to death to raise our hand because we're scared of what the person next to us might say. We're scared of what they might think about us. And a lot of Christians, because of the fact that we have so many people that are leaving the church today, a lot of us Christians, because we're theologians, amen? We pass this off as this. Well, the book says at the end of times there's going to be a great falling away. Right? Isn't that what the book says? That's an excuse. Yeah. That's the biggest excuse I've ever heard. Why? Because the men of old, the men and women of the New Testament, the early church, folks, do you realize they believed the same thing? That they believed that in their lifetime they were going to receive, they were going to see the return of Christ. They believed that. But folks, did that stop them? No, that's the reason why we have the gospel today. Because you had folks that refused to quit because they believed that something was coming to an end. And these were folks that were guided and they ate, slept, and drank the Holy Spirit of God. It was just a part of their life. And they wanted it to come out. We as Christians, also, we've got to want this to come out. I began to ask God, all right, God, what's the deal? You know, I want to know what the deal is. I'm a Christian. I belong to you. I'm your child. I want you to tell me what's going on in our churches today. I want you to explain it. Now, you know who I am, so you know how you have to explain it to me for me to understand it. Okay? And it was just like it was plain and simple. This is what God told me, people. What happens within the four walls of this building is a result of what happens right here. What happens here is a result of what takes place in this building right here. Folks, we as individuals, we're the ones that make up the church. If you have no desire to be led by the Spirit of God, if you are a church that has no desire for the power of the Spirit of God, and all you care about is numbers, right? How many people we know, there's churches out there that all they care about is numbers. You know, the preachers get together on a certain day during the week, and they brag about how many people they had in church that Sunday. Well, I can tell you a way to where you can just pack this place out. You'd have to buy more chairs. You had to knock out these walls. You want me to tell you how to do it? Come on. Now all you're scared now. You say, what's it going to do? What's it going to do? This is what you need to do. You need to quit having church on Sunday morning, Stephen. Just quit having church on Sunday morning. Sunday afternoon, because you got football, baseball, and racing that takes place, open up your church for Sunday afternoon. Put you a bar in the back and say, everybody welcome. Now, I'm going under the assumption that you can't purchase alcohol before noon on Sunday. Is that right? How you know? I got you. High five. But seriously, if that's all we care about and all we want to do is be a social club, folks, open up a bar. But I really don't believe that that's what integrity is all about. I believe integrity's heart is reaching people for Jesus Christ. And folks, look, you can't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ apart from the Spirit of God. You can't do it. So how many of you got an outline this morning? Come on, it's okay. You can raise your hands. It won't hurt you to raise your hand in church. You got an outline, right? This is what I want you to do. Now, I entitled this message, Danger, because there's danger when we hinder the Spirit of God in our lives. So this is what I want you to do right quick. I want you to write down some things on that outline that you believe that hinder you and your walk with Christ. Okay? Just real quick, write down some things that you believe that hinder you and your walk with Christ. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you four that I believe God gave to me. And in one of them, he actually let me cheat a little bit because one of them is a part of the scripture we're going to be reading here in a little bit. So I cheated just a little bit. That's okay because God gave it to me. Is that okay? And when you're finished with that, if you got a Bible, turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We're going to begin with 16, verse 16. My wife and Billy done a relay this morning because I come up here and forgot my glasses and I looked at the Bible and I looked at my notes and I said, I can't see a thing. And they relayed, get my glasses to me, and they felt so sorry for me back there, they decided to put it up on the screen. So thank you guys. Are y'all awake this morning? Huh? You're looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. I don't get it. Oh, come on now, let's be alive. You know, the Spirit's supposed to be in us. If you can't be happy because you see me, be happy what you heard in the music. Amen? Come on. Thank you. All right, if you got your hindrances down and you got your Bible turned, say, got it. That was only half of you. Hurry up the other half. Come on, we're waiting on you. I only got 10 minutes, and I got 45 minutes left to go in my message. So you got give me 10 minutes here. You got it? All right, let's read. In the NLT Bible, it says this. So I say, let the Holy Spirit, what? Does it say anything about anybody else got in your life? It says what? The Holy Spirit to guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Do you realize there's a battle going on with inside you? That you have the flesh and the spirit, and they're constantly battling. And the great thing about that is you determine who wins. If you're a Christian, you choose who wins. If you want to choose for the Spirit or you want to choose for the flesh, it's your choice. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly what? Fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Now, folks, this is not what Steve has to say. This is not what any ministry leader has to say. This is what God breathed upon the Apostle Paul for you and I to hear. Okay? So I really want you to listen. I want you to pay close attention to what it says here. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, adultery, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger. Ooh, that's a bad one. Selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've done before. Listen very close. Listen very close. Because Paul's saying this. Remember, he's been breathed upon by God. This is what he says. That anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a blow, isn't it? To think that if I'm living that type of lifestyle, I got a problem. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Look at yourself. Take a self-examination. Is this what's coming out in your life, or is that which is contrary to the Spirit coming out? Listen to what it says here. The fruits of in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. Those who belong in Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross. Not our cross, not anybody else's, but it says His cross, and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in just every once in a while in a part of our life. All right. Did y'all all go to Graham High School? It says every part, not just a certain part. It says every part. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Let's pray. God, I just pray right now that Your Spirit will convict us. Because our desire is to live for You and be what You would have us be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've got 4 points that I'm going to give you. Now, like I said, I cheated on one, but God gave it to me, so that's okay. Number one is this: we live lives of unbelief. We live lives of unbelief. Now, some of you might be sitting here this morning and saying, "Steve, dude, I'm here because I believe." Right? Some of you are actually thinking that right now. I see it in your faces. "Steve, I'm here because I believe." Or you're saying, "Steve, I remember the day that I trusted my life to Christ because I believed on Him. I'm here. So what's the problem with this unbelief thing?" Well, I'm not talking about that. If you're saved, that's great. That is the greatest event that will ever take place in your life, is your salvation. But I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is this: that you don't believe that God can use you in His ministry. That you don't believe that God can use you in what He's doing. Folks, in the Great Commission, He tells us this. He says, "Look, you know, I want you to go out and what? Make disciples, baptize." He says, "I want you to teach." And He says, "I want you to do all these things in the name of Jesus Christ." You know what that tells me? That God wants me to be a part of what He's doing. That God has a desire for Steve to be a part of what He is doing in the world around us. But I've got to look at it this way. What can I do? Well, the Bible tells us this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says this: a spiritual gift is given to what? To who? Does that rule anybody out? It says what? As a means of helping the entire church. So what that ought to tell you is this, folks, that God has gifted you spiritually to be a part of the ministry at your church. Do you realize this, that 20% of the church members do most of the work? And that's not right, folks. That's just not right. Because what you're doing is you're putting a burden on other people in doing what God has called you to do. God has called each one of us to do certain things for Him. And we've got to go after what it is that He's called us to do. Because He says, I've gifted you. I've ordained you to be a part of what I'm doing. You just can't sit back on your no good for nothings, right? Expecting other people to do it. Because, folks, you don't know what you're missing out on if you do that. Because I believe that there's moments and times in your life where God has ordained that moment for somebody to walk across your path for you to share with, for you to minister to. Not only does God tell us, well, let's look at this. How many of you are familiar with the purpose-driven church? Boy, you better be glad Bud ain't here. Because you'd make Bud mad right now if you sit there. I don't know nothing about no purpose-driven church, because this church was based upon the purpose-driven church. In the purpose-driven church. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, Stephen. I believe one of your classes teaches you that you are shaped for ministry. Right? Say it loud. Yes. You heard it from Stephen. That we have been shaped for ministry. Meaning this, that God has gifted us spiritually to do something within the church. Not only does He gift us spiritually, He gives us a heart. He gives us a passion. He gives us a love for whatever it is that He wants us to do. He also gives us abilities to do it. He gives us a personality that fits what we're going to be doing. And He also gives us experiences. He allows us to go through things that we can use as experiences to help out in that ministry. But you are shaped for ministry. Matter of fact, I believe that's class 301 here at Integrity. But you have been shaped for ministry. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us this, that God, it is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped to do every good thing that God wants us to do. God will equip you. Look, God's not going to send you out there all by yourself and just say, whew, do it. God's not going to do that. God will equip you before you ever get there. Now, if Tyler Carmichael was here, he'd tell you, Steve, you done told this story I don't know how many times. But I'm going to tell it again. Is that okay? Now, in 1985, I really think I was possessed by the devil. Y'all not laughing, you're thinking, uh-oh. Because I decided to go to ACC, TCA, whatever it was called back then. And I was going to take a class, data processing. And I think I was possessed by thinking that. Because computers and myself, if I knew I wasn't going to throw away a whole lot of money, I'd be throwing them out the window. They make me so mad. Matter of fact, one of the coaches at Graham, he got to laughing at me one day. I was doing a hydration test for a wrestling team, and I had to punch in the numbers to send off to the state. And I got to typing, and I would, okay, where'd that letter go? And I'd find it, and I'd start typing. And they were just having a hoot over me because I can't type. And I told him, I said, don't laugh, man, because I've graduated. I used to be one. Used to be one finger. But this is what happened. When I went to take that course, we had to take certain classes. And one of the classes was a speech class. And the lady, a couple of weeks in, she says, look, what we're going to have to do in speech class is at the end of the semester, you're going to have to give a speech before the class. After class was over, I went up to her and I said, are you serious? She said, yeah. I said, I can't do that. She says, you're going to have to. I said, okay. Folks, when I left her that morning, I didn't go back. Why? Because I just didn't think I could talk in front of people. In 1986, I recommitted my life to Christ. Matter of fact, Sherry and I both, we knelt in our living room. We committed not only our lives, but our homes to the things of God in 1986. 1987, we were going to a church. I got tired of sitting in the pews. We had pews back then. I got tired of sitting in the pew. I wanted to do something. I went to the pastor. I said, what can I do? He said, well, we got some young people. He says, why don't you start doing something with them? I said, well, that's cool. I was still a young person then. I was only 27. Okay. And I began working with them. And we began to grow. The numbers began to grow. And I would be getting up in front of them talking. I didn't think twice about it. And then they began asking me to do the announcements in church. I got up and then I didn't think twice about it. And then I felt a call to preach. So I went back to the church I grew up in, Glen Hope, and I talked to the pastor, and he said, well, yeah, you know, they prayed about it, and they called me back, and I met with the deacons. I'm sitting there talking to the deacons, and they come out and said this, you're going to have to preach before the church. I'm not thinking about it. Okay, we can do that. Sherry gets up, and I'm supposed to get up right after she sings. She sings, and I get up there, and I look out, and there's about 300, 350 people out there. And speech class comes back to mind. I'm a wreck. My knees are just like that. They are. I'm scared to death. And this is what I did. And you know me, and I'm not lying to you, but this is what I said. I said, God, I know you didn't bring me up here to make a fool of me. Because if you're making a fool of me, you're making a fool of yourself. Because I believe I'm called by you. And once we got going, it just flowed. Folks, listen. God began to equip me and prepare me for that moment. 2 years previously. Not only that, God began to equip me and prepare me for this moment. Some umpteen years down the road. Folks, God will prepare you and equip you for whatever it is that He's called you to do. So you need to believe that God can use you in ministry. Matter of fact, Integrity Community Church can use you in ministry. Number two, and I got an hour left. That's good. Y'all ain't got nowhere to go today, do you? The race was last night. Y'all were laughing. I'm serious. They just locked the door. Number two, we lack a consistent prayer life. What is the deal that we just don't like talking to God? Now, a lot of us, when called on to bless the food, right? Come on, go like that. When we're called on to bless the food, we don't have a problem with that. Because we know everybody's hungry. I don't have to be long. I can be short and sweet. Good food, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. And we have at it. And we just don't want to pray. I look at it this way. How many of you go out to eat? Come on, some of you. The rest of you is lying because I know you do. Folks, you better pray over your food. You ain't got a clue who's fixing it. You better ask God to bless that food. I mean, you know, we're wanting to pray for nutrition, to strength, to be a part of what God is doing, so we better pray. Colossians 4:24 says this, if we are consistent in our prayer life, it avails much to God. God also tells us this in 1 Thessalonians. He says, pray without ceasing. In Romans 12:13, it says, always be prayerful. Do you think God is trying to drive home a point to us? That maybe we ought to talk to Him? The Bible also says the reason why you don't have, because you don't ask. He says, I want you to come to me. I want you to talk to me. Folks, there's a relationship that He desires, but it just can't be a one-way relationship. God wants to talk to you, and He wants you to talk to Him. Wives, how long would your marriage last if your husband never talked to you? Not long, would it? I know some of you thinking, I don't know about that. He talks too much. But the relationship is built on communication, isn't it? Right? Come on. Now you're scaring me. Our relationships are built on communication. It's just like our relationship with God. It is built upon communication, talking with God. There used to be a thing here, and I can't remember when it was. Some of you, maybe Doug knows. But when we come, 2001, 2002, somewhere back then, there used to be a prayer time thing. And what it was people filled out names that they were going to pray at certain times. Right? Remember that? And you know, I looked at it this way. There's 168 hours in a week, right? Oh, just trust me. I did the math a couple of times. 168 hours a week. And at the time, there was 400 and some plus people here. Now do the math. Right? There ought to be enough people to fill these slots. Plus, there was people that actually said, okay, I get up at this time every morning. I just fill my name across the board. Where has that gone? Well, where is the fact that we need to pray for our church? Folks, you know, there ought never be a time when Bud Wren gets up here to speak that you ain't praying for him. There ought not be a time when Stephen and his team gets up here to do the music that you're not praying for him. There ought not be a time when you know that there's people hurting within your church body that you aren't praying for them. Because the Bible tells us that we are to pray for each other. We're to lift each other up, and we're to lift them up to a holy God. Number three says this, and I know this don't affect any of you, but I'm just doing it because this is what God told me to do, all right? We can be self-centered. Now, I know it. There's nobody in here like that. There's nobody that walks through the doors of the church and says, I've arrived. It's me. Hey, how y'all doing? My name is Steve. Come shake my hand because I'm glad you got to see me today. There's nobody in here like that, is it? The Bible tells us this in Colossians 4:24. If we are consistent, well, that's prayer. Sorry about that. The Bible tells us in 3:16 that self-centeredness, whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart. Guys, self-centeredness causes confusion. Self-centeredness causes breakups. And some of the worst breakups that I've ever heard is when churches split because of self-centeredness. I have actually talked to two churches in the past 5 months to where their churches split because people wanted to do it their way. Folks, the last time I checked, the Bible tells me that Christ is the head of the church. Not me, not Bud, not Stephen, but Christ. We got to quit thinking that it's about us and start realizing it is all about God. And I'll take you one step further, because through these churches I've learned this, that these two churches split not because of the congregation, but because of the pastor, because he didn't get his way. What a shame. What a shame for people that are telling up and telling people that I am truly called of God, but yet it's going to be my way. I think what you got to do is start learning how to pray and pray for his salvation. Amen? Amen? Self-centeredness. Guys, it's not about us. It's about lifting up God. It's about being led by the Holy Spirit of God, as they sang this morning, asking the Spirit to rain down upon our lives. About asking the Spirit of God, you know what? There's times I just don't know what to say. But you know what? The Spirit does. And the Spirit prays for me. But I can't do it if I think it's about me. Number four and last, everybody say amen. Amen. Oh, y'all ready to go, aren't you? Just for that, okay? Them doors still locked? Okay, good. Thank you, Robert. I dare you to try to leave now after that. Number four is this. We live lives with unforgiveness. I don't know what it is about people, but for some reason, we like to hold grudges. For some reason, because somebody might have wronged us, we like to hold it against them. And we're thinking that we're really ripping them apart when we're holding this stuff against them. Folks, do you realize this, that these people aren't losing a wink of sleep because of your grudge? But I can tell you who is. You are. Matter of fact, some of you are getting gray premature because you're stressing out because you want to not forgive somebody. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to forgive. How many of you know the disciple Peter? How many of you know? Man, y'all that old? I'm just kidding. Now, we read about Peter in the Bible, right? We kind of get a clue of what type of person Peter is, right? Come on, go like that. Peter is the type of person that a lot of times, open mouth, insert foot, right? That's just the type of person Peter was. I think Peter at this time was trying to make himself look good, okay? I think he's coming to Christ right here, and he's really wanting himself to look good before Jesus. And in Matthew 18:21, it says this. In 21, it says this. Peter says, Jesus, how many times are we supposed to forgive somebody? He's trying to look good. He says, what, seven times? I'm supposed to give somebody seven times in a day? But I believe Jesus brings him back down to reality. I believe Jesus kind of gives him a humble pill when he says, no, 70 times seven. Folks, that's 490 times in a day. How many of you get wronged 490 times in a day? So maybe... Got a wife holding up her husband's hand. Hey, folks, other than them, nobody else can get. I mean, it's just hard to do. But the Bible tells us this, that no matter, there's nothing out there that anybody can do to you that you shouldn't forgive them for. If you don't like that, I'm sorry. Well, not really, I'm not sorry. But that's just the way the Bible tells us. That there is nothing out there that happens to you that you can't forgive. No matter what it is. And I believe this, that Jesus Christ gave us the ultimate act of forgiveness when he hung on the cross. You remember the words of Jesus when he hung on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. You see, I don't believe he was just talking about the Roman soldiers that nailed him up there. I don't believe he was just talking about the Pharisees who went behind people's back and kind of murmured and got the crowd against him and had him put to death. I don't believe it was just about the people that were around that day that turned their back and run because they were scared of what could happen to them. I believe he was looking at some 2,000 years down the road here at Integrity Community Church, July 6, 2008, and he's saying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. That's the ultimate act of forgiveness. Folks, realize this. It was your sin. I want you to say this. It was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. It was our sins that put him on the cross, folks. And yet, he forgave. Folks, we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve grace. But because of forgiveness, we have it. What is it this morning that is hindering you from being completely led by the Spirit of God? What's hindering you this morning from being led by the Spirit of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I talked about forgiveness, Jesus Christ dying on the cross. You know, folks, there might be somebody here this morning that didn't realize that. Or there might be somebody here this morning that'll say, you know, Steve, I don't remember a time to where I accepted Christ's forgiveness and asked Him to be my Lord and Savior. And this morning, I want to commit my life to Christ. I want Him to come and be master of my life this morning. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody here this morning? God sees that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? God sees that hand. Anybody else? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want to see you make things right with God this morning. If you just raised your hand, I want you to look at me. If you just raised your hand, I want you to look up at me. Are you serious? This is something, do you really want this in your life? Do you really want it? I'm going to ask you to do this. Nobody's looking around. Everybody's got their eyes closed. I'm going to ask you if you would stand, just come to this door over here. We're going to have somebody pray with you. Is that okay? Just want somebody to pray with you. So as Stephen plays, just go to the door. If there's an elder or anything in here, would y'all meet them at the door? I need an elder or ministry leader. Folks, I also ask this. What do you know in your life right now that's hindering you from being all that God wants you to be? You've wrote them down on the piece of paper. This is something that I believe that God has revealed to you, that the Spirit of God has convicted in your life that you're living a life and you're hindering the Spirit of God. If you say this morning, Steve, I want to get rid of those hindrances, would you raise your hand? I want to rid myself of those hindrances, would you raise your hand? Hands all over the building are raised. You can put them down. As soon as you stick them up, you can put them down. Anybody else? Anybody else? God sees those hands. Anybody else? This is what I'm going to ask you to do. If you are truly serious about what you just raised your hand about, as Stephen's playing, I'm going to ask you if you would. Again, you don't worry about who's around you, what they might think. This is between you and God. This is about you and the Holy Spirit of God that wants to live His life out in you to be all that you can be. You just raised your hand. I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you come and then kneel at the altar? And I want you to give those hindrances. I want you to give them to God. But I want you to leave them here. I want you to go back to your chairs, and I want you to be that Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and Spirit-guided and Spirit-directed person that God has called you to be. Would you come? Would you come? If you raised your hand, would you come and leave them here? Leave them here this morning.
Presence, dear.
talk to him this morning. God charges us as His people to pray for those. Folks, we've had a front full of people. We've got some people over in the back. And it is our responsibility as Christians to pray for one another, to pray for each other. You know what? The thing is whatever they came down here for, it's really none of your business. It's between them and God. So I'm going to charge you right now as in Parity Community Church that these are your folks and you need to pray for them. And you need to pray for your ministries. That God would just do something extraordinary in this community through your church. Let's pray. God, thank you again for the day that you've given us. Folks, we've had folks down here with needs. Folks that has a desire to get on fire for you. God, you tell us in your word that, you know, if we just delight ourselves in you, that you'll give us that desire of our heart. So I pray, God, that right now, these people come and pray that you give them that desire to rid themselves of their hindrances, that they left them down here, that they've put them on the cross, Father, that they can go out and be the type of person that you want them to be, that you want us to be. Father God, for whatever's happening in the room over there, you're a good God. That's all I can say. Because you're a good God. In Jesus' name I pray.
Stand to sing the chorus, I surrender all to you. We do just give it up. Take over our flesh and replace it with the Spirit. May we be Spirit-filled believers in you. That we are a light in this dark world. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. To enjoy Mr. Steve McGowan today.